T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
As we're going to go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, bring in John Costco with Pro Football Focus. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Jeebus. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm excited to talk to you today because we're going to do a little something different, man. We're going to get into these individuals who have to have a bounce back season, right? You know, there's a lot of these individuals who in the NFL, you know, is more like I do. Sometimes you can have a down year, but that next year you better be ready to do something because people are ready to move on from you. The NFL stands for not for long, and they say that all the time. So with that being said, let's start off with OBJ. Kevin Stefanski says he's ready to go. He's healthy. It looks like he's endorsing him. They've consistently squashed some of the situations as far as the trade rumors. And now OBJ looks like we can get a true evaluation on him. He needs to have a bounce back year. Why or why not do you think he will have a bounce back year? Or do you think that it's a wrap for him? He's on the back nine of his career.
Yeah, I think he's primed for a bounce back career because if you look at his career before Cleveland and New York, he had a grade of 92.2, like, you know, cumulative grade, which was fifth best in the NFL of all wide receivers. And that included a year where he was, he missed most of the season because of injury. And then he comes to Cleveland, was hurt, we found out after the season, and obviously had one of the worst year of his career. So he's going to be healthy, assuming everything went well with the, and obviously trusting Kevin Stefanski. But there's no reason to believe that he won't bounce back after, you know, his career norm of what he's been able to do in New York. And he's going to be in a system that, in Kevin Stefanski's system, that's going to put him in the proper positions to succeed along with Baker Mayfield. So I fully expect OBJ, as talented as he is, to have a big bounce back year.
You know, so crazy about it, you know, he had over 1,000 yards. He caught a lot of passes. And some of the people we're going to talk about on this list would have loved to have that level of production. I think people wanted to see those splash plays from OBJ. They wanted highlight plays. And so I think that's the expectation from OBJ, and that's what people assumed what he would bring to Cleveland. Obviously, that didn't really work out. Do you think that he'll be able, and how will they be able to work him into the offense where they can get him more touchdowns this year?
Yeah, I think that he's going to be able to have a system in place where everybody's going to be able to thrive. So what just seemed like is that there was no rhyme or reason to the structure of the play calling, the structure of the concepts that were being run in Cleveland. And so, like, a lot of it, too, was OBJ was not able to practice very often, and so he wasn't able to get on the same page with Baker Mayfield because of his injuries. So they weren't able to practice these reps and get into the right positions. You know, if Baker's expecting him to run a 12-yard dig and he runs a 15-yard dig, that's going to make an incompletion, and you saw that quite often. Not with just OBJ, but with the rest of the team. So Kevin Stefanski's offense and the way he's going to be able to coach this team, he's going to have them rep these out. And even if they're not able to rep it out there on the field, they're going to get those mental reps and making sure that they're running their routes at the right depths. And so I think, you know, that he's going to be, you know, one of his best routes is the slant route. And he didn't run that very often last year. And I'm pretty sure that Kevin Stefanski's going to have him run a lot of slant routes this year. So, you know, things like that. So that's going to put the OBJ back into the echelon of the top tier receivers in terms of just numbers and also the production grade.
Talking to John Costco in the North Osage Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Of course, he's from Pro Football Focus. When we want to look at it, let's go and go around the league. Let's play a little game. We're going to say bounce back or a wrap. And let's get to New York. Let's go over to New York and we look at a very curious case. Le'Veon Bell, last year, all-time career lows, played in 15 games, rushed for 789 yards, a low of three touchdowns, 3.2 per carry. He did catch 66 passes for 461, but he was nowhere near the Le'Veon Bell that we saw in Pittsburgh. Do you think it's a bounce back year or it's a wrap for Le'Veon Bell?
Well, I think the benefit that he had when he was in Pittsburgh was one of the best offensive lines year after year. And so when you go from that situation to the situation in New York where they have one of the worst offensive lines, you're going to have that step back year, even if your ability hasn't changed all that much. I think you might get a little bit better of a year out of him, but I don't think you're going to see the types of years that you had from Le'Veon Bell, like he had in with Pittsburgh, that he's going to have in New York. So I'm not seeing a big bounce back year for Le'Veon Bell, unfortunately, for the fantasy owners of Le'Veon Bell.
Well, that's our first It's a Wrap from John Costco. He was trying to be nice to y'all. It's a wrap. Sorry, Le'Veon.
It's a wrap.
Let's get to another fantasy dude who I wasted a first-round draft pick on a year ago, and it had me looking crazy out here, David Johnson. David Johnson let Kenyon Drake come in and just completely take all his minutes. Last year, he only rushed for 345 yards in 13 games. People were drafting this guy in the first two, three rounds in fantasy. And all of a sudden, he gets, you know, a call from Bill O'Brien saying, hey, we'd love to trade DeAndre Hopkins for you. Almost straight up. I don't get it. David Johnson, bounce back or a wrap?
I'm not going to be very nice about this one. It's a wrap. I don't know if you need to just look further than how slow he was moving last year in that offense. And he only only had 436 snaps last year. So I think it's a wrap for him. He had basically one good year in 2016, lost off, you know, got injured early in 2017, didn't play the entire year. It just hasn't been the same player. So it's a wrap.
All right, that's two for two. It's a wrap. Here's another guy. We're going to go out to the great state of Indiana, and we're going to talk about a guy who was one of those guys who kind of reminds me of Marvin Harrison. Puts up a lot of numbers, had four or five years in a row where he was that guy. Let's talk about T.Y. Hilton. He was injured last year, caught 45 passes, 501 yards, only five touchdowns. And he had recorded 1,000 yards over the last 6 years, five out of the last 6 years. So they bring in Phillip Rivers, and they look to do something to get that offense jump started. Is T.Y. Hilton up for a bounce back year or is it a wrap?
Yeah, he's up for a bounce back year. So he's a guy that throughout his career has been pretty dang consistent in terms of just being able to produce. He was injured last year, so he obviously had the fewest catches he's had and fewest targets he's ever had and obviously yards. So I with Phillip Rivers, a much better quarterback than situation now than he had last year with Jacoby Brissett. He just needs to stay healthy and he'll be, I think he's going to bounce back to his career norm of, you know, around 16 yards per reception and getting into the, you know, 80s and 90s catches and over 1,000 yards. So he's going to have a bounce back year.
Okay. So now we two for two. John is two up, two down. This is kind of a wild card because I don't even think we talked about this one. You just mentioned his quarterback, Phillip Rivers. He played forever in San Diego. Now he's back coming, you know, to the East Coast, and he's actually trying to revive his career a little bit. Worst year of his life last year. He was the reason why they kind of stunk the joint up. I don't know if his arm talent is what it was, but, you know, I think their system, I like their system in Indianapolis. I think they have a system where running backs are good. They got one of the best offensive lines, especially up the middle between the guard positions. Is it a bounce back or wrap year for Phillip Rivers?
So this one is a tough one because because when you look at Phillip Rivers on tape last year, where it just looked like his arm was cooked. But part of it is he had no time to throw. He had, his offensive line was a terrible, one of the worst in the NFL, and it's been that way for a while. And perhaps that all just caught up with him in 1 year. And a lot of times, obviously, when quarterbacks get to this age, they just drop off a cliff. I want to believe that Phillip Rivers still has a year or two left in the tank, because I do love his play and what he can bring to the table. And he goes to a team with, obviously, that offensive line is one of the best in the NFL. He's going to be in a system that's going to be able to just buy him more time. So I'm going to give him another year.
All right. Well, listen, hey, look, that means bounce back. We're going to give the Hall of Famer, the future Hall of Famer, a little benefit of the doubt. Let's go to some young guys. Let's talk about some young guys for this. Next guy, we're going to go back to Indianapolis. This is 3 years. They got a lot of people in the bubble. Does that mean Indianapolis can either be good or bad? Who knows, depending on how these guys play. Xavier Rhodes, he was considered in Minnesota one of the best corners in the league, right? But, you know, he had a terrible year last year. He turns 30 in the offseason, didn't have an interception last year. And so when you're looking at Xavier Rhodes on tape, you're looking at Xavier Rhodes this year. Do you believe this is a bounce back year for him, or it is a wrap?
I think you have to look at what his, not just last year, but the year prior. And I think people overlook in 2018, he wasn't good either. He only had one interception and five pass breakups. So his numbers were pretty similar to what they were this year, in 2019. So I think this is a wrap for Xavier Rhodes. He had a 55.1 coverage grade in 2018. It dropped to a 45.3 in 2019. That kind of decline is obviously very concerning, especially in 2017. It was a 71, which is a good but not great coverage grade. So it's a three-year consistency of going down, down, down. It's a wrap for him.
Oh, listen, now we 3 for 3. Consistency is the key with John Costco. Consistent. Let's go to some guys that got picked the last couple years in the NFL draft. Both of these guys are kind of like head scratchers to me a little bit, because I didn't really see, as far as defensive line is concerned, where they kind of were impact game changers, right? We saw with the defensive ends from Ohio State and Bosa and his brother and Chase Young. We see what those guys offered off the edge. But these guys are tweeners. I really didn't quite see it. And the first one is, we go to the Las Vegas Raiders. I still got to have trouble saying Las Vegas. But
sounds,
yes,
weird,
the Las
man.
Vegas.
It sounds weird.
It's crazy. They really just went against the grain and really drafted Cleveland Farrell. And they drafted him at 4. You know, he played in 15 games, recorded about 38 tackles. Had 4.5 sacks, 5 passes defended. But, I mean, that level of production, I don't know if that's a 4th overall pick. I don't know if he has the splash plays or the pass rush ability to affect the game. What are your thoughts on Cleveland Farrell, first of all, at 4? And then second of all, what do you see on tape as far as what he actually is grading out?
Yeah, so I didn't know of Cleveland Farrell at 4. We liked him as a player, but, maybe fringe first round type talent, and not obviously in the top 5. So he could have proved this wrong, but, and you know, sack numbers do lie, right? So, like, you could say, maybe he had only 5 sacks, but he had a ton of pressures. This isn't the case for Cleveland Farrell, though, unfortunately. He only had 26 total pressures for the season, and his 4th round teammate Max Crosby, who obviously taken much later in the draft, same draft, had 12 sacks or 11 NFL sacks, 9 hits and 31 hurries. So he was way more productive as a 4th round pick. So that's a very concerning, obviously, for a guy who went in the top 5. I think you look at the track record of at PFF and our grading and seeing how consistent and stable pressure grades are. It's not a good thing for Cleveland Farrell, and I wouldn't say it's a wrap yet, because he's obviously a 1-year player, but it does not look good for his future outlook.
All right, well, I'll say it, Cleveland. It's a wrap for you. I'll say it. You know, John got to upstay in his career. He can't be coming out doing all these hot takes. That's not what they do over there. But me, I'm in a business to that. It's a wrap for you, Cleveland. Let's move on to the last person. This person I never quite really understood. I never liked taking five techniques. I don't like five techniques. Like, five techniques mean like, you are a defensive end in position only, but you kind of have like the athleticism of a defensive tackle in the production of like a three technique. So we got like Solomon Thomas, right? So all I heard was Solomon Thomas from Samford was like the next game changer. And I'm like, well, what position do we play? Stanford plays this weird, strange defense. It's just like, you know, Oregon plays this weird defense where they got stand up three techniques or something. But this guy, he hasn't even been able to start. Now, granted, he had Forrest Buckner and Armstead, and you got Bosa, and that's kind of tough to break in. But this guy was a number three overall pick. He did have a 41 tackles and three sacks, despite being only in 12 games. He started 13 games in his second season, but what do you see from Solomon Thomas? Is it a wrap for him?
Yeah, it is a wrap for him. So you mentioned a guy who his teammate DeForest Buckner, who obviously was a D end in college he could play anywhere on the defensive line, but he plays at that, you know, that five technique or whatever. But he is a force, and he's no longer his teammate, but he wrecks things on that defensive line. Whereas, like, Solomon Thomas in college, he did not even grade out all that well in college at Stanford. He was a 66.9 pass rush grade in 2015, and then only went to a 76.2 in his final year there, which doesn't spell really good things for a guy that's in a tweener position to be able to get after the quarterback. And he's basically followed that up in the NFL and not been very productive. You look at his grades, 54.1, 63.0, 54.4. Last year was with a 54.4. That was obviously in a Super Bowl team that had a defensive line that was considered one of was the best in the NFL and one of the best we've seen in the past decade. And he wasn't able to take advantage of that. So this is a wrap for Solomon Thomas. He was definitely way overdrafted but fortunately for the 49ers, they seem to be able to replenish those defense linemen pretty easily.
All right. Well, we'll finish up. I really enjoyed this little thing. I like this, man. You getting opinionated over here. I like doing this. We'll have to revisit this with a couple more people, man.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of guys that need to have breakout years, like Hayden Hurst or even like David Njoku and stuff like that. So there are a lot of guys we can do this for.
Yes, don't give it away. Don't give no names. They'll steal it. So we will talk to you soon, man. I appreciate your time, man.